Law of spontaneity would be a wonderful place to stay forever. And in truth, it's the only place where we are. But, and there's the key word, there always comes up this but. This appears to be occurring that doesn't seem to be embedded in that cybernetic operation. And that appears to be occurring either within our own specific individual environment, being, or within the collective being, environment, or the universal. And so at this point, we are going to address the quote-unquote, but. And to that effect, we have what appears to be the dimension of Christian Science, which obviously is not a dimension of its own, but the relative viewpoint of that which we have just been imbibing in consciousness. It is how that wonderful being that has had an urge within itself to express is able to express itself and bring itself to what appears to be the human understanding, the human consciousness. Bring itself, in other words, to that which we are. And wasn't it really love which has the ability within itself to always meet the need that has brought this wonderful level of scientific understanding to the understanding of our conscious mind, to our being? Because through this, we can once again understand that which we are, and thereby regain our divine position, which is truly on the absolute dimension. And so now we're going to consider the dimension of Christian Science, really I should say the level of Christian Science, together, and I'm sure you will find it to be as practical as it purports to be, and therefore a wonderful level to work with, and a wonderful way to see how scientific understanding does alter our consciousness and enable it to retransfigure to the absolute position. We will start with the law of creativity, that law that comes forth from the higher dimension, where the law of divine impulsion was bringing forth all that being was, or is, rather. So let us keep in mind that this law of creativity is just a more relative, therefore a more prismatic way of looking at the law of divine impulsion. And so we see that that being, which is what it is, and which is desiring to bring forth what it is imprinting that which it is on its creation. Therefore, all that that being is encoded with the nature, essence, and wholeness of its being. I really should have said at this point that all that that being conceives is encoded with the nature, essence, and wholeness of that which it is. Therefore, it is encoded with the intelligence of its mind, and empowered by its law. It is encoded with the substance of its spirit and strengthened by its order. It is encoded with the identity of its soul and stabilized by its rule. It is encoded with the structure of its principle and cyberneticized by its system. It is encoded with the eternality of its life and energized by its method. It is encoded with the consciousness of its truth and idealized by its form. It is encoded with the perfection of its love and integrated by its plan. Isn't that wonderful? It's terrific. Therefore, being ever is revealing its nature in this manner. See, that's what we're doing in this law, isn't it? Instead of seeing being, now you can see when we were up on the dimension of absolute Christian Science, that as we prismed into the seven, we really were touching into the level of Christian Science a little bit, because we were breaking down that which being is. We were bringing to light its specific characteristics. So therefore, at this dimension, on this level, we can see then that being is revealing itself in this manner. From the depth of its all-knowing mind, being is bringing fold its sevenfold information, which obliterates the illusion that anything else could bring forth information, and causes the latent information factor within me to seek its own, to unveil itself. Isn't that great? That's how it works. You see, it doesn't work because I decide that I need to know something. It doesn't work because I feel that there's a God out there and I wish to find out something about that God. No, it doesn't work that way. How does it work? It works because that being, from the depth of its being, is bringing forth its information. And it's that operation within being that is enforcing itself upon me and therefore turning me to it, getting me to seek. It's really mind itself imposing its information on its universe that is impacting upon my being and forcing me to seek whether I like it or not. It's really, that's the way it is. Nothing stems from my individual consciousness. It really doesn't happen that way. We just think it does, and that's the whole lie. That's the whole problem. Okay, so then from the depth of the onlyness of its spirit, being is bringing forth its sevenfold reality, which obliterates the illusion that anything else could bring forth reality, and causes the latent reality factor within me to purify its atmosphere, disposing of its seeming materialism. It's terrific when you view it this way, when you see it this way, because you realize in the first place that there's no choice. That yes, we're seeking reality, but only because it's seeking us. You know, it's got its honing device out for us. It's not going to let anything dwell in a reality that is unlike its own. So obviously, since the model of being is imprinted within our being, it's going to keep tapping in to that imprint within our being, and it's going to allow the transformation of the materiality, or the so-called materiality of our being, to find its reality. But it's the spirit of that being that is doing this. So it's wonderful. And from the depth of the ego of soul, Being is bringing forth its sevenfold I amness, which obliterates the illusion that anything else could bring forth the character of the I am, and causes the latent identity factor within me to reform in accordance with the sinlessness of my true character, causes me to abnegate my sensory selfhood. It's a really great way to look at it, and it's right. It's much more holistic to look from this point of view. And it is a law that's going on in being, so it's going to enforce itself anyway. From the depth of the one infinite principle, being is bringing forth the sevenfold structure model of its being, which obliterates the illusion that anything else could bring forth an infinite structure model, and causes the latent deep structure factor within me to re-coordinate the fragments of its organization in obedience to the divine model. It's wonderful. You just see that this is going on within being, that because it is bringing forth that which it is, it really cannot allow anything else to bring forth anything. A lot of implications in there. From the depth of its life, being is bringing forth the sevenfold nature of its existence, which obliterates the illusion that anything else could bring forth existence, and causes the latent life factor within me to flourish as the little I lays down the mortal sense of its life. And from the depth of the consciousness of truth, being is bringing forth its ideal, which obliterates the illusion that anything else could bring forth an ideal, a form infused with all the right factors, and causes the latent truth factor within me to awaken. That's what we all want. It causes it to awaken that which appears as my consciousness, to correct the factors, and in order to help it regain its idealized state. From the depth of the perfection of love, being is bringing forth its sevenfold integrated being, which obliterates the illusion that anything else could bring forth completeness. Anything else could produce a united sphere of integrated oneness, a holistic universe, turned into one, that which is turned into one, and causes the latent integration factor within me to reunite me with the divine holographic model of its celestial being. That's a terrific exercise, and I just invite you, when you have these books at home by yourself in the quiet hours, to ponder and deeply imbibe that which it implicates. Therefore, that which causes me, the little I, to seek is the divine mind. It cuts through the veil of illusion and brings the light of its divine ideas. That which causes me to choose the spiritual is the divine spirit. It unfolds the spiritual journey that separates me from materiality. That's very comforting, at least to me. That which causes me to abnegate self is the divine soul. It exchanges that which appears as my animal, psychic instincts, for its superior instinct, for its spiritual sense. That which causes me to relinquish all lesser loyalty is the divine principle. It requires my obedience to its deep structure and deprograms me from all sense of person. And therefore I better let it do it and not get in the way. That which causes me to lay down the mortal sense of life is the divine life. It exalts me above time and the cycling of mortality, beyond the seeming appearances of death. That which causes me to affirm the truth is the divine truth. It alters my consciousness, thereby giving me dominion over the erroneous calculus of lesser paradigms. And that which causes me to unify with God, this wonderful place value in the law, is the divine love. It saves me from the void of excommunication as it holds me in the united oneness of its integrated being. Isn't that an incredible law? And you can see right away, you can feel right away, that on this level it is really coming to meet the human need. It is really coming to meet that which I think I am. And that's really what we're handling in this particular law. That which being is, and those qualities of its being that are revealing themselves, and that which I think I am, or that which I think is real outside of being, or that I think that there has been another creator, mortal mind, that could have brought forth its creations, those creations which have nothing to do with the qualities of being, those creations which are antithetical or counterfeit to being. Not possible, really. It isn't really possible because there's really only one creator, life, truth, and love, which is impelling forth from within its being its light. It's bringing forth its mind. It's bringing forth its ideas, and therefore nothing else can ever come forth. And the fact that it's doing this in such an all-encompassing way, and as we know from having visited the vertical of science, it's such an error-correcting feedback system that it enables that within me which is out of sync to resynchronize. You know, imbibing the essence of these laws really takes the pressure off, because it doesn't leave you just in a void of excommunication, wondering how you're going to regain the kingdom, wondering how you're going to work out of the mess. Because certainly if you look around objectively at the human condition, it's a great big mess. And if we thought that's all there was, what a horrible kind of life we would have. And that's unfortunately where many individualities are. And how thankful I am that these laws exist, because they won't be able to remain in that state. Something within the intrinsic model of their being is going to awaken and is going to hearken within them. And therefore they're going to be able to realize their divine nature. And that's what this law is enabling all of us to do, to re-understand its nature, and by so doing, to understand our own nature. Which brings us to the next place value, that of the law of transformation. And as you can recall, that which was so-called on your map upstairs, or above it, or that which really is in depth behind it, was the law of individualization, that law that we focused on very lovingly and in depth to see that within there, all of the specific calculations were being formed, that it was the wonderful processing plant within being where those great configurations were being reconfigured in order to bring out new patterns, new forms. And so there really isn't anything different going on here. It's just the way in which that operation is coming to the human. It's the way the divine is coming to the human. And therefore, if there's a sense of process going on in the divine, then there's a sense of process going on in what appears to be the human. And therefore, at this point, we're not so much concerned with what we are, what being is, and therefore what we are, so much as how we operate. How being operates in the divine, therefore how we operate. So the sense of translation that's going on here really has to do with consciousness. And it really has to do with being coming to what appears to be the human consciousness and reconstructing it in accordance with its consciousness. It's really allowing it to process and configure in the same manner that it does. So that's what's really going. That's the kind of transformation that's going on here. And it's wonderful because it really has a terrifically powerful processing plant in which to do this. And that's that's the saving grace. So I have in your book, Exploring the Law of Transformation Through Exercise. And we won't rehearse again here what we really mean by exercise, but certainly we mean both imbibing the letter and the spirit in order to ultimately identify. So we have here that the operative power that lies deep within the consciousness of being and is intrinsic to its model is thereby intrinsic to the micromodels of that being. That's just another way of saying what I just said, enabling them to calculate in concordance with its own divine processing plant. It's really supremely logical. If the infinite operates in a particular manner, how can any of the component models of that infinite operate in a different manner? So it's getting the operation straight here within what appears to be the human consciousness, thereby stored in the microprocessor of these individualized models. And I don't wish to get into a long definition here of microprocessor, but I don't mean it exactly in the manner as they do within computer language, but certainly in the manner that we've been taking micromodels, that the individual processing plant within that which appears as my being is equated with the processing plant of being which has produced the micro models. Okay, so thereby stored in the microprocessor of these individualized models, thereby in the individualized model of my being, lies the potential power of its principle, which dominates and regulates the activity of the microprocessors of these individualized models. I think that's terrific. It has the power. That potential power of principle is that which is regulating and dominating the activity that's going on in that microprocessing plant. And stored in that individualized processing plant is likewise the dynamic power of its life, which stimulates the activity of the microprocessors, giving them the impetus and the energy to calculate. That which is stored in the microprocessor of these individual models? Is the conscious power of its truth, which enables the microprocessors to adhere to the divine standard that operates in the processing plant of the consciousness of being? That's really necessary. Because if it didn't have that conscious power, you see, it could operate blindly. And it could operate without that standard. And then it would miscalculate. But in truth, because that conscious power exists in the processing plant of the consciousness of being, it also is intrinsic to the microprocessing plant of that which appears as my being, and enables it to maintain its divine standard, thereby enabling it to calculate correctly. And if that were not the case, there wouldn't be a prayer of my being able to calculate correctly or in accordance with that being. It programs them, the microprocessors, with the divine configurations and computations of its being and allows only correct calculations to occur in the process of its work. And how grateful I am for that. Because I know then, if I want that within me to process correctly, all I have to do is tap in to the intrinsic conscious power that exists in the operative part of my being, thereby stored in the microprocessor of my being, of these individualized models, lies the total power of its love, which assures that only wholes will ever be computed, and that every factor will be engaged in the computation, which is just why we need to deal in wholes and not fragments. Stored in that microprocessor lies the identifying power of its soul, which assures that the models of being brought forth by the microprocessor are in keeping with the nature of the divine model. Thereby, it won't allow anything to be brought forth that could be of a different nature. Thereby, a miscalculation. Thereby, something that is opposite to or counterfeit to that which the divine processor would bring forth. And stored in the microprocessor of these individualized models lies the ordering power of its spirit, which assures the new model's transparency to the divine order of the inner flow, that they may reflect its environment so purely as to be isomorphic, as to be patterned after the divine pattern. Thereby, stored in the microprocessor of these individualized models lies the manifesting power of mind, which guarantees the quote-unquote information, information, the form of manifestation of the new models, the exemplification of the divine model. So the implications of this law are tremendous, in that if the divine consciousness, through its ability to configure, can only bring forth whole models, can only bring forth models that are in keeping with its being, then those models can only operate in the same manner and therefore bring forth models in keeping with that divine nature, with the intrinsic nature of its own divine being. So we don't have a sense of creativity that could bring forth anything other than that which being could bring forth.